Hello and welcome to another wrap-up episode of Who Would Win Masters, where we take a look back on last week's episode, your reviews, your comments, and what's coming up. I am Sam Proof on all the socials, and today we're going beyond the scope of ranged combat with Deadshot versus Winter Soldier. How's it going, Ray? You ready for this?
I am always. That wasn't really much of an introduction, if I could be honest with you. Hey, I'm just going to talk to Ray as if he's already been introduced. Sam, what is...
Oh, that's fair.
I know we're stressed over technical limitations, but you got to at least introduce me on my own show.
All right.
Everybody knows who I am. It doesn't matter.
It's not in the doc. No, okay. No.
You're right. It's not in the document. You're right.
You want it? You put it in the doc. It's fine. But have any notes about my hair not being crazy in the doc either. So's
mine, but what's there?
That's fine. Ladies and gentlemen... Without further ado, a man who speaks louder than his shirt, Ray Stakanis.
I feel like a real jerk asking. That's fine. Hey, everybody. I am feeling pretty good. I can't wait to see if the people agree with me about Winter Soldier versus Deadshot, or they agree with our judge of the hour, Sam Proof.
Of the hour? Wow.
Who said that Blake Fulton, just this hour. Who said that Blake Fulton won the battle, but it was very close.
That's true.
We'll see if the people agree. And I think they're going to see it my way, but we will find out when we find out.
All right. That's fair. I mean, that is what it is. That is the whole premise of the show. Declare my verdict. But that is not the nail in the coffin. It is up to the people.
That's right.
To raise their voices.
And be heard. This is a show that actually listens to its audience. This is a show that will read as much content about it as we possibly can. You know, this is a show that brings the people on to do the debating and is not afraid to take people on at their strengths. And I'm very excited to be a part of the show, and I'm very, very excited to do this as well.
I think we should, before we really get into this, give a quick shout out to everyone who has come from the Patreon to join us live in the chat as we record this episode. So shout out to Snurts and Ken. And
yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to you guys. Absolutely. You know, we're just starting to do this. We try to give a little bit of advanced warning, and instead we get the comedy duo of Snorts and Ken Bjorn Turner. And I think that's absolutely fine. You know, as we do this more, people start getting into a little bit more of a rhythm with it. We are on the West Coast, so we do record a little bit later in the day for people on the East Coast. But enough about that. How are those cats doing?
Good. They really want to be involved in this. God, no. She jumped through the arm rest hole area. So that's awesome.
Are you allowed to say that on a family-friendly show?
I don't know what I said anymore. The arm. Yeah, hello. Anyway.
Hey, everybody.
That's a misdirection. What?
We're doing this right here. We have a new review, and I'm going to read it. We only got one new review. You know, I read all the 5-star reviews that we get. That's why I encourage you to leave them, because I'm happy to read them. This is a pretty quick one. This is from Anyone 13367. That's probably an original name. They say, love the show. Hey, thanks. Please do Lara Croft from Tomb Raider. I am a big fan of the Tomb Raiders. I am a big fan of Lara Croft. We've done her at least, I believe, Lara Croft versus Indiana Jones on the previous iteration of Who Would Win for a Showdown September match. I feel like we've been leaning a little heavy into video game characters in the first few episodes, and we're not going to stop there. Spoiler alert. So Lara will find her place, I'm sure, at some point. It might be a hot minute, though, before we do it, but that is noted. That is understood. And thank you very much, anyone, literally could be anyone, for that 5-star review. If you want, go on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review. We love it, and we will be happy to read it on the air, pretty much regardless of what it says, even if you're mean to me, which sometimes they are. What's up with that? I'll do it. I got no shame.
I don't know. So far, just love for the community. Thanks, everyone. You guys are the best. But yeah,
that's right.
We need more reviews.
I'm a big fan.
Bring
it on. The big thing to show here, Mr. Sam Proof, is did the people agree with me or did the people agree with you? I am beyond excited to find out what the final fan vote percentages will be for this episode of Who Would Win.
Yeah, so just for the record, this is the second week in a row where I laid my verdict out and it went against Ray.
What's up with that?
I felt that that is the way it was. I thought that Blake did a great job and...
He did do a good job.
He's nothing but a consummate professional.
That's right. Well, so, I got a drum roll here
for
you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Get it ready.
Ooh. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with an astounding 73% of the community vote, your winner for this sharpshooter contest is the Winter Soldier.
Oh, my God.
27% for Deadshot.
Really?
Yeah.
No, cut that cheering out. We have a live studio audience, but they need to learn their place. What is happening over here?
I mean, it is what it is.
Look, I thought Blake did a good job.
I didn't think
he did 73% good job. I mean, maybe I just had an uphill battle to start off with or something.
I mean, I think if Deadshot had been uphill, maybe that would have been a different battle. So there's that.
It would have helped, definitely, if we had to make... If we had to make Winter Soldier climb Mount Kilimanjaro
right.
in order to get to Deadshot, I like my chances.
That would be better odds for sure.
I thought this would be definitely in the 50-something to 40-something range. So I'm a little disappointed in the people right now. I'm not going to lie. Where are you people? All voting for... people love an underdog. That's fine. But aren't I always the underdog if you think about it? I guess not.
I mean, hey, you went up against an actual lawyer. So in that sense, yes. I guess
Fair enough.
The underdog. Underdog.
Underdog, maybe. Blake has sent us a final word, and I'm going to read it right here.
Let's hear it.
Mr. Blake Fulton is aware of how this has gone. So he says, it's insane how hard it must be to do what Ray does week in and week out. Every week going against someone who is researching and prepared for weeks for one particular battle. That said, this one felt over. The matchup was made, he says. Wow. I would have had to been the number one seed Detroit Lions. Uh-oh. In the first round of the playoffs. Uh-oh. With home field advantage. Mm-hmm. To blow this type of lead. That is hate speech as far as I'm concerned. Love it, man. Hope to do it again. Blake Fulton. So congratulations, Blake.
Congratulations.
We have to give it up to you. Sam agrees with it. And Sam is 7 for 7 agreeing with the people. So really, I think we can add man of the people to your resume at this point.
I got to learn that new wave. That's the one, right? Where it's like side to side.
You got to learn the princess wave.
Princess wave, yeah. I'll get my tiara next time. It'll be tight.
I can appreciate all of that. Sam, your final thought on the battle? That's what I would like to know.
You know, these are always so close. And going into it, I really had no preconceived notion of which of these characters would really do it. And I think Blake just brought the A game and like he used his time wisely. He laid out really strong points. And you know, if I hear the word grappling hook again, I think I might
flip
the table.
Grappling hook. you know, they're chat right now. They're debating new nicknames for Sam.
Nice.
I think Man of the People works, but yeah, I've heard Sam Show Me the
Proof, Show Me the Proof, nice,
which is fair. You know, that's all good. And also, Lord Snurts, he seems to believe that I am no longer the underdog. I am now the official main host of the show, and so I am the target for conquest. And you know what? He might be right. I know a lot of people, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo,
yeah.
Ric Flair.
I mean, yeah, you're the Bobby Flay of comic battles.
I mean, that's sort of how I pitched the show in the first place.
Yeah. Now, if we could just get Bobby Flay on here so we could eat something while we're doing this.
If we get Bobby Flay, I'll be on Bobby Flay's show. He comes on this show.
Yes.
I out debate him and then he out cooks me. I don't know.
I'm fine.
I can
with
make
that.
Some stuff. I'd be happy on both cases. Yeah, I'm into it. Bobby, if you're listening, and I know you are, let's not front. Ahead and hit us up. WhoWouldWinShow@gmail.com, Bobby Flay. We'll talk to you about it. But Sam, are you ready to get into the comments? Well, as always, we have quite a few to get through.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Oh, I'm going to butcher this name right out the gate. Our first
Jim Ingrata. Jim Ingrata. I'm going to help you. He's been listening to the show since day zero.
Obviously looking at a different name. That one's super easy. Jim Ingrata says, great episode. And boy, that Blake Fulton guy was excellent. Well done for a first timer. And yeah, I mean, first time on our show, but clearly not the first time he has entertained the debate theater, if you will. Professional lawyer, folks. Come on.
He's a professional, he's literally an attorney. So you had to know he was going to come ready to do his homework. He was going to come ready to argue. He had succinct points. He knew how to use his time.
Yes.
I mean, and he talked as fast as I do. So, you know, this was very much kind of a mirror match in some ways, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just louder than him. That's all.
Or is that? Was hoping at any given point he would just go, Your Honor, I'm just a small town debater. But it never happened. It's okay. It's all right.
I'll be honest, that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah,
if we ever have him back.
If he comes back, you should.
That's right. We'll try to get him to do that. Yeah. I'm going to go with Max the Man 1001. Max, it is a joy to have you as part of this conversation. Let me just say, I agree with Ray. Thank you. That mobility is the key argument. But, contrary with what Ray was saying, Winter Soldier has the advantage with the physicals and speed. If Deadshot tries to use the grappling hook, Winter Soldier will either break it with his weaponry or follow him. Though brief, it was mentioned that Winter Soldier has a grappling hook as well. Deadshot would be too overwhelmed, but great episode. I'll take it.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I think that is basically where we came to the conclusion that we came to on the episode.
Don't use the word we here.
Well, we the people.
We, the royal we, maybe.
Yeah, I'll take a royal we later, but for now, let's keep going. all right. The next one comes from, and he is sitting in chat with us, Ken Bjorn Turner said, great episode. Fantastic. I hope I'm even close to his voice. Closer than I thought it would be. Two great opponent debates in a row. Nice. Oh, and as always, what Ken said.
Getting weird with the bit. I don't even understand what's happening with that bit anymore. And Ken Bjorn Turner is somebody that has sent us a demo. He is somebody who wants to come on the show. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if he's ready for the big time. Let me just say right now, Ken, we have it. We're processing it. Don't get your hopes up. But you know what? Who knows? Maybe someday it will happen.
We get so many of these and we have to turn away so many people. It's in the contract. We literally have to turn people away.
I don't like to turn people away because I like knocking over tomato cans, even though it does get boring after a while. I need a Blake Fulton in there every so often just to mix it up, right? So we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, I don't know. Anyway, next up from Facebook, our Facebook group. If you don't know, we have a Facebook group, Who Would Win Podcast, Geek News and Battles. And you can go on there and you can comment and we'll try to see that as well. Especially if you start tagging us or respond to my posts. I'm posting Who Would Win Masters questions on there and it would be nice. The point is, somebody named Drilla Dame, and I have a strong feeling that's not their real name. They say Bucky all day. He's a more well-rounded assassin and more cold-blooded. Well, that's fine.
I don't know that I actually agree with the cold-blooded part of that.
I don't think he's more cold-blooded at all. I think he's a warm character now. Maybe when he was the Winter Soldier.
That is fair. Sure. That is a very valid point. It does depend on the timeline that we pick him out of. So, good call.
That's fine.
All right. All right. Next up, Edward Barry says Bucky would win, block Deadshot's bullets with his arm and shoot him in return. Done deal.
Done deal. I don't think it's so much of a done deal, but okay.
Goes out, gets some pizza. That's it.
Block his bullets with his arm. I mean, that's somebody who listens. That he respected that part of the argument. Yeah, that's fine. I just don't know how you can call Winter Soldier both a more cold-blooded killer, but also say he has the vibranium arm because ever since he got that special metal in his arm, he's no longer that other character. So right. I don't know. To me, I think we're conflating, you know, this is like using every version of the Predator at the same time for a
sure.
battle.
Yeah.
You know who you are. The point I'm trying to make is next one comes from Rico Galactics McClin, which is a fantastic name. And here
we go. That's probably a legal name. I'm sure.
Much like Mr. Dame. I'm sure it's a very real name. But I can agree with this vibe. Not even a question. It's Deadshot. Thank you, sir. Strictly because he does not have to face off with you in order to shoot you. Bucky does not have that skill. Of course, he's a darn good shot, but he's nowhere near as good as Deadshot. He's the better fighter out of the two. He's the stronger fighter out of the two. He has the best weapons between his arms, combat ability, and his gun stills. Still, go to Deadshot being able to shoot through bullets and around corners in almost impossible spots. And this was a main crux of my argument that apparently has gone upon the deaf ears of the people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if that just went back to blocks it with his vibranium arm and then closes the gap, and then you're in melee, and that was the crux of it. But, you know, yeah, Deadshot does impossible things. He breaks physics, and I don't know. Could have gotten more
in there. That's
fair. Yeah.
You know, Ken Bjorn Turner wants you to know that if a YouTuber can name their kid Aquaman, that you don't know if anybody's name is their actual legal name, and that's a fair point.
That is a fair point. When did that happen? That's terrifying.
I know nothing of this story,
but existence.
If it's said in a podcast chat, it must be true. No research necessary. That's where I come from.
Yeah, no, I believe that 100%, and I feel really bad for that kid. Because come on, there's no way that kid gets through school with somebody not picking on him. Like, nobody's going, hey, Aquaman, cool name. Not even
that's
Aquaman.
Fair enough. Wasn't there like name your kid Skyrim? And once the day Sky, if your kid was born on the day Skyrim came out and you named your kid Skyrim and you'd get Bethesda products for life.
Well, I don't know.
You know what? You do the next one. I'm going to look that up.
Okay. The next one's super short, so I'll take my time. Bucky. No. Okay. This is from Javon Jones, who says, Bucky is stronger, faster, and a better fighter, and been around longer. Yeah, I mean, he has that history, that experience to bank on, for sure. Did you find That's answers true. To your
I
thing?
I did find the answer, and I was right. In 2011, Bethesda Softworks ran a contest where they offered a lifetime supply of their games to any couple who named their child Dovahkiin, which is the official name of what your character is in Dragon's Blood. If their baby was born on the release date of the game, November 11th, 2011, one couple, Megan and Eric Kellermeyer, took them up on the offer and named their son Dovahkiin Tom Kellermeyer, and they did, in fact, get free games for life. That kid is almost 14 years old now. How's he doing?
I mean, that's not a terrible name, right?
Dovahkiin is not a great name.
It's not worse than Aquaman, though. I'm not sure if Skyrim would have been the better choice in that scenario.
I don't think Skyrim's a better choice either.
But yeah, I mean, at least with Dovahkiin,
yeah,
like, it just sounds a little like, it's a family name. Like, I think eventually it falls out of, like, you know, the popular vernacular, because Skyrim's not that popular anymore. So eventually, like,
I mean, it's still pretty big deal. I don't know.
But how many people know that?
I would say right now,
right?
That's a kid who almost immediately said, please just call me Tom. Let's just keep it real.
Dova.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nobody calls the famous quarterback John Stafford. His name is Matthew Stafford. That's actually his middle name, much like Tom Kellermeyer.
Or
that's
Richard
what I'm trying
Butkus.
To say.
Anyway.
Richard Butkus. Thank you. All right, I think it's my turn to read one. Where's my document at? Oh, here we go. Lord Snurts. Oh, I got the Snurts one here.
Hey.
I do wonder if there is a Sam effect. Some mental trickery to the fans when a verdict is given. Blake was another strong contender. Excellent counters. Full use of time. Knowledgeable of both combatants. The mobility argument from Ray didn't land. Disagree. Bucky has faced foes with grappling tech. The only way I see Deadshot winning is suicidal. Letting his opponent get in close and then detonate an explosive of some kind, and to keep the bit going that entertains at least two people. As always, what Snurt said, follow up, if only Deadshot had Mentos.
All right. All right.
Fair point.
Yeah.
It's a callback to our ad from the show.
Yes. Right.
For the people at home. Like, you're listening to this if you didn't listen to the episode. Are there people who only listen to the wrap up? I mean, maybe. Maybe people, I don't like the debating, but these guys just BSing around. That's really what I'm here. And you know what? If that's you, great. Let us know. I'm very curious. It seems to me like that would not be the way I would want to do this, but everybody, listen to your own way. Don't let me tell you what to do.
Yeah. Hashtag wrap up crew, I guess.
Hashtag you are the wrap up crew. That's right.
There you go. All right. Next up, Moxford.
Lord Moxford.
Is it Lord Moxford? We have royalty here? Is that right? I think so.
It's okay. Lord Snurts. It's Lord Moxford. A lot of people are lords. We get a lot of royalty. A lot of people did that Scottish thing where you buy the 1 foot of land.
Sure.
As far as I know.
Yeah. Lord Moxford says, Blake was a strong contender. Shot for shot, Deadshot and Bucky are pretty equal. Ray tried to bridge the narrow gap with the grappling hook, but ultimately fell short. The two things that really pull it over the top were the Winter Soldier's vibranium arm and hand-to-hand combat proficiency. Deadshot just can't match Bucky's fighting skills. Hashtag Mentos, the Freshmaker. Hashtag Sam was right. Ooh. I've got a hashtag.
Wow, that is shots fired, Moxford. How dare you? All right, well, I'm going to move right to the next one here.
Wow. We got
Forbidden Mob, who says, such an awesome episode. Yeah, man. Blake Fulton brought the smoke from start to finish. I've never seen Ray on the ropes as much as I did with this one. I got the feeling Blake is a huge fan of the Winter Soldier. Well, he is. We can tell you that. Sure. He picked him. He knows every metallic detail of Bucky's metal arm like the back of his hand, the dodging skills, the vibranium arm, the mask, special bullets that hurt Thor, EMP. What are you, just debating me now? And sheer strength are overwhelming for a long-range fighter like Deadshot. I feel like the examples of feats helped seal the deal too, especially with Blake's rebuttal mentioning Kitana, the Green Arrow, and Harley Quinn being able to evade Deadshot sealed the deal for me. Besides Ray and the Last Gentleman, that y'all had on the show, I've never heard someone make such a great use of their time. That is true. Blake Fulton, the best use of his time of anybody we've had on the show so far. And maybe ever will. I don't know. Prove me wrong. Anyway, well fought, Ray. Thank you. But Blake killed it. GG all. Love the show.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with that. Blake really used his time well. He brought counterpoints that made sense, and he laid out all the strengths of Bucky's entire thing.
He did it, man.
I would gladly have him represent me in court or in the comic book world.
That's right.
Yeah.
Next time I get a parking ticket, I'm calling Blake.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Next up, I had to do a double take. I was like, didn't we already do this? But this is a different person. This is
the son of Jim.
The son of Jim, Gabe Ingrata, who said, great episode. Bring this dude back. Definitely 100%. We're going to have Blake back on for sure.
Well,
I mean,
we'll
that's what I say. That's what I say. You have to
Let's bring on some people
here
that are beaten first and give them another chance to beat them again. That's what I say. Our last one here, and this one was great. This is a longer one, so buckle in. This is Anthony DePasquale, and gosh willing, I said that right. I'm trying. Anyway, here it was. And when I first started reading this, I was like, uh-oh, are we about to get sort of jammed here? But, you know, hang with it. He says, dude, bruh, this matchup is chef's kiss. You guys show again why you're the head of the table when it comes to comic podcasts. Since it's too close to call, I'm going to give you a couple of reasons for both guys to come out on top. First, Bucky. He's a crack shot himself, but can hit his targets faster because of all those shiny cybernetics. Everyone sleeps on Mr. Barnes' proficiency with non-gun style weapons. And he gave us a lot of screenshots and stuff like that and pulls. We're not going to show them because this is an audio medium. But he said, here's one with blades. And now here's a shot that's dead. But he's a very skilled against metahumans. He quickly wipes the floor with Count Vertigo, but he has some very impressive feats versus some opponents. This is Deadshot now, I think. I had to do some formatting, and I probably screwed it up. Anyway, He had some impressive feats versus some opponents who would normally stomp him. Yeah, that's Deadshot. He can find weaknesses like my ex-wife can find flaws in my parenting. Heyo, everybody.
Hello.
Here he takes down a generic bulletproof dude. And then he says, for the record, I don't have kids or an ex-wife, but he's taking applications. That's weird. I'm not going to get involved with that. P.S. Thanks for reading my Storm versus Dante post. You guys helped me pass the time after a very risky surgery, and I couldn't be more grateful. I hope you're feeling better, Anthony. I hope you're recovering well.
Yeah, definitely.
I hope you're doing good. Keep on listening and let us know what you're thinking. I appreciate that. And that
for
is
sure,
all the
yeah,
comments
well.
I bothered to grab. If there are more and I missed them, well, you should have got them in sooner when I was making my document.
Exactly.
This is
yeah.
good stuff, everybody.
We could be reading your comment right here, right now, but instead, we're going to go take a break and we'll be right back.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Hey, everybody. I'm back again with Mr. Sam Proof. And one thing I was going to question about, if he had a very risky surgery and he made a full recovery and he was listening to this show, does that count as a miracle for sainthood? Am I eligible for being a Catholic saint? Could we argue he prayed to the show and then got better? And I'm just saying, you only need like two lousy miracles, according to Father Guido Sarducci. So I want to know, what are we doing?
I mean, yeah, didn't they give some dogs or cats sainthood a while back?
I feel like the criteria is very loose these days. I haven't done enough research into it. You know, I'll ask my parents. They would know better than I. And we'll try to get some answers for the future. But, you know, let's count it. That's one miracle. We need one more, and we're going to full sainthood. Now, we had some other topics. Anthony actually had a lot more to say after that, because he has a couple of ideas, and why not? We're in the idea business. He says, I have a couple ideas I'd like to slide by you. Who would win Sports Edition? Stuff like Mike Tyson versus Brock Lesnar, or Shaq versus Bill Russell in the paint, the 94 Cowboys versus the 2016 Broncos, or even the 2000 Sox versus the 97 Yankees. Interesting. You know, this is the thing. There's another one here. Who would go over a pro wrestling version of Who Would Win? But it would be more like a talk about who had the better career between like Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin, the Hardy Boys and the Young Bucks, Paul Heyman versus Bobby Heenan, best, you know, manager of all time. These would all be great matchups. And I agree with all of the above. You know, this is something that I'll pull back the curtain in the original incarnation of Who Would Win show. Probably a few years ago at this point, I pitched the idea of what if we not moved away from doing fights, but what if we occasionally did a one shot of who would win different circumstances? My initial idea was who would win in a cross country race between a speed racer and Dom Toretto from the Fast and the Furious. And I think it could have been a compelling argument. I think there was some juice in there. But unfortunately, like many ideas that I had, that was shot down in the boardroom as saying that's a little bit too off topic. People come to us for the superhero fights. If we start doing content that's a little more off the rails like that, we run the risk of alienating our audience. And that's fine. I don't know. Maybe we could do that here. I mean,
maybe,
you know, no one's leashing me now, right?
Yeah, the idea is out there. If people are interested in that concept, let us know for sure.
I'm going to ask the people right now. Yeah. Is that something you're interested in? Sorry, Sam, I cut you off because I'm a big old jerk.
Is that something
you people at home want to hear? Let us know on Patreon, a Facebook group, whatever. Email us, whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. Let me know. And Starts wants to know, you immediately came up with the parameters for the race. Yes. What do you mean? Of course I did. Of course it's going to be a race. And it's going to be a race involving Dominic Toretto from Fast and Furious. If you know me at all, you know that that's the first place my mind is going to go anyway. So, okay, fair.
Yeah, I mean,
anyway, yeah.
I think I love that concept of like the situation being the premise instead of just a battle. Because like you can go anywhere with that. You'd be like, you know, who would win zombie apocalypse and then put two heroes into that? I think that would be super cool, too.
Yeah. I mean, these are all ideas we could toy around with. You know, we got, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we mess around with the format a little bit and have a little bit of fun? And the sports thing, too. I do like the sports one as well. I mean, I would love to argue different sports teams and who would win between, you know, the 85 Bears and the, you know, the 2007 Patriots. I think they was that the year. Anyway, that's one. I'm sure maybe. I don't know. You just say any generic year in the 2000s or 10s and say Patriots. You got a very good chance of just being right that they won the Super Bowl that year, or at least got there. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, yeah, I think these are fascinating. Now, the problem is with football and a lot of other sports, too. I think basketball, baseball is power scaling, quite honestly. When you're doing right. A sports battle of an older team versus a modern team, the thing is, the modern team will always win, and it won't even be close. There are modern, mediocre baseball teams that would hammer teams of the 1950s and 60s in baseball. Yeah. The players today are just bigger, faster, stronger. They train better. They've learned from all of the eras that came before them, and they just do different things that people back then wouldn't have answers for. There's probably nothing that a baseball player in the 1950s is going to do. It's not that they couldn't have any success at all, but they're not going to do anything that isn't taught in like little leagues these days, right? And that's going to be a problem for those teams coming in against a team. Like, you know, they do the shift now. They put the second baseman behind second base against right-handed hitters. Because nowadays they can't put three of them on the left side of the infield like they were able to do, right? It's a little bit crazy, but like there's a lot more scouting. There's a lot more, you know, keep it real. The diets are better. The weight and training is better.
Yeah, the equipment's better.
The equipment's better. And so, yeah, and the rules are different too, obviously. And then football's the same way. What then? Remember when William Refrigerator Perry in 1985, when he was considered the largest man anybody had ever seen in football, and what did he weigh? William Perry, he weighed 335 pounds as a defensive tackle. And that is a lot. That is a big fellow.
That's a big guy.
But if you were to ask the question right now, how many professional football players weigh 335 pounds or above, which I will right now, how many NFL players weigh 335 or more? It's a great question. The answer is there is not a definitive up-to-the-minute count. Thanks, AI Overview. You're really helping me out right here. Here's the deal. Okay. I do have an answer here from an actual website and not some nonsense that was forced on us. According to Pro Football Reference, a real source of information, there were 445 active NFL players in the year 2022 that weighed more than 300 pounds.
Oh my God.
Not 335.
All right. Still.
But that's over 20% of the overall player pool of the NFL weighed more than 300 pounds. And this is my point. People are just bigger. Now they're faster now, and they always are getting better and more skilled. The toe tap, that was not a thing. That's a thing every wide receiver can do now. And I'm going on a sports rant. I am now probably alienating the audience. This is what I was worried.
All right. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just saying it's a hard argument to do given those specifics. That's all I'm trying to say.
Unless we do it as a race. No. All right. Let's.
Whoa!
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll probably stick to mostly 1v1 kind of situations, but we'll see what the people say.
you know what? Maybe as a one-off every once in a while, we could try something different. I am always about trying something. This has always been my attitude with the Who Would Win show is, let's try it and see how it goes. Now, I'll shoot down something if I know it's bad. And I know people will hate it. And I'm usually right. But I'll try something if it's borderline every single time. Like, Snurts wants Who Would Win Wacky Races Month. I'm going to shoot that down because that's not a very good idea.
I don't want to do a whole month. Like, every once in a while, we can do something fun.
Never voting for me on the Patreon poll again.
That's there it fair. Is.
And who could blame him, really?
Yeah. What is
there that? A one-off episode. Now we're talking. A one-off episode right. I can get behind. Let's see here. So
he specifically says Mario Kart, but I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Sure. Not a bad idea at all.
It's the Harlem Globetrotters Mario Kart episode. Dig it.
Which Harlem Globetrotter would
win? Scooby-Doo Harlem okay, go on.
Yeah. Bowser's Castle. I'm going with Curly because he's the only one I remember from the Scooby-Doo show. Curly Neal.
My ideas are not good. All right, that's fine. All right, let's move on.
Here's the deal. We appreciate you showing up. I'm not trying to give you guff. You're somebody who's here with us right now. And I just lash out, okay? Oh my goodness. Anyway, we're talking about what we're watching and playing right now. And I got a few here. I'm sure you have a few as well.
I
just got back, just as we record this, from a little indie film called Fantastic Four. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. This is sort of an obscure one, a very, unknown team worked on this one. I'm kidding, of course. It's the biggest movie since Superman came out. I'm going to say right now I loved it. I really, really liked it a lot. I would give Superman a slightly higher score by just percentage points over Fantastic Four, but there is nothing to get mad about. There is nothing to hate in Fantastic Four. You could make the argument that maybe there weren't as many action sequences as you would have wanted out of that property, and I think that's a fair criticism, but what they gave you was just gold, spun over and over and over again in this kind of alternate universe, and I think they call it like the 828 continuity, which is great. And just everybody's cast beautifully. Pedro Pascal, I was a little bit skeptical of him at first, and I worry a little bit about the oversaturation of Pedro Pascal, but maybe I shouldn't be. He's so talented, and he brings this warmth with him to every role he plays. And I believed him when he was playing the smartest man alive, who just always was the one trying to save everybody else. I really like that. This is the best portrayal of Galactus that we've seen on the screen. Wow. It's a very, very good Silver Surfer. It's the alternate version that from comic books that a lot of people, there's a whole conversation about that.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest, one of the biggest outrages to people was like, what do you mean Silver Surfer's not a man? But it's established continuity in this comic book. Like, this is not like a director cut where they were like, just going to make it a woman for no reason. This is a character that existed. Anyway.
That's the thing. Some of this online discourse is a little bit silly as far as I'm concerned. Uh-huh. Like, they are ripping things straight out of the comic books. Like the whole complaints about the She-Hulk show. If you didn't like it, that's fine. You're allowed to not like things and like things that other people don't like or whatever. That's fine. But She-Hulk is one of the most comics accurate shows that the MCU has put out there. Like, if you wouldn't have liked those comics if you didn't like the TV show, but you can't sit here and say it wasn't authentic. They gave you that experience. Maybe it's just not your cup of tea, and that's totally fine. There are movies and TV shows and stuff out there that I don't care for. I just don't make it my life's work to talk about them. I'd rather talk about the things that bring me joy and hopefully bring other people joy as well. I used to live in that negative Nancy world, and I try to be a little healthier now. It's just not healthy to spend your life wrapped around getting angry about things that you have no control over. People, this has turned into a rant, not one that I intended to have, but like what you like, and that's fine. Let people have their fun.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I want to check that out, but I'm probably going to wait till it's on streaming.
It was worth seeing on the big screen. I'll say that. There are some big wide moments in the space scenes. I'm not going to spoil anything here, but in some of the New York scenes, some of the space scenes, there's a lot of things that there was a lot of gravitas. There was a lot of size kind of brought on screen. And, I think you are missing out, Snurts. I think he asked if he's missing out by waiting. I think you should go see Superman in theaters. I think you should go see Fantastic Four in theaters. And I'm going to tell you why again right now, not just because I think they're very good movies, and they are. These are the last superhero movies we're going to get for over a calendar year. The next MCU movie is the end of July of 2026, and that's going to be the new Spider-Man movie. And the next DC movie is, I think, in early July, so not quite a full year, and that's the Supergirl movie. So you have 12 months. If you miss this, you have 12 whole months that you're not going to be able to go see a superhero movie in the theaters unless there's some weird indie thing that comes out. So take advantage. You're eating really good right now. Take advantage of it, and we'll see you next summer.
All right. Well, I've got a little almost segue from the Fantastic Four, but actually the 2015 version, with a little actor known as Miles Teller. And he was in a movie, I think it was on Apple. It's called The Gorge. And it is him and the girl for the lady, I suppose I should say, from The Queen's Gambit. And I would say her name if I thought I remembered it accurately or anybody would know what it is.
Is it Anna Joy Taylor? Anna,
something like that,
Those three words in some order.
It is, yeah, it's those three words. But yeah, and she's awesome. I love her. The whole premise is that both of these actors play characters who are, ironically enough or coincidentally enough, like sharpshooter types who are like experts in their field, and they are hired, or at least we see on the Miles side that he is hired by this company to, as a one-man operation, guard the western half of a gorge. And at the bottom of the gorge is a mystery.
You see the trailer? I saw an ad for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It looked really cool.
Yeah, it was mostly really good. I have like a few,
mostly.
I have a few minor problems with it that would be complete spoilers, so I can't really get into it.
We don't
it.
Want that.
Yeah.
No.
But
and
like,
so, and weird though, so you say Miles Teller is in this. Does his partner Penn Jillette make an appearance?
No.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know though. Good to know. What is your cat? What? Give your cat some food. What
she
is happening over there?
3 hours ago, you ate.
3 hours ago, that's like 10
that's
years
like
to 10, a cat.
Yeah, it is. It's in
the. Can
in
your cat see the bottom of the bowl in any way, shape, or form? Then they're starving.
It's all bottoms. It's all bottoms all the way down.
All the way down.
Yeah. She's like, this is my desk. I sleep here. This is where I do stuff. What are you doing
that's
here?
That's a fair point. Now, give me a scale of 1 to 10. What are you giving the gorge?
I would say it's like an 8. I think the thing about it is like, the premise is really cool, and once they get into the sort of, there's like this world building thing, like the scope of the design of what's in the gorge is like super interesting, and I'm like, man, I want to see more of this thing as its own thing, because I think it could exist that way.
Very cool.
But they did it as a like one-off movie, and I'm sure there'll be never any more to it. But it was worth it.
Yeah. Sometimes that's good enough though, right? Sometimes that's all you need.
Leave them wanting more.
Need?
Yeah.
You know, I was making the point on social media that people say, now this is, you know, get mad at me. People say that all they want, all this original content. They say, I'm tired of all the sequels and the reboots and the rehashes. Right. And then, and they say, and they complain, oh, Hollywood is just bereft of ideas. There's no originality anymore. Well, let me go ahead and read you the top 11 movies box office wise of 2024. When people, you hear this all day long, how they hate the sequels. They hate the fact that this is happening. They hate the lack of originality. And where do they spend their money though, you ask? Where, what movies do they go see in such numbers? Well, the number one movie of last year was Inside Out 2. Then it was Deadpool and Wolverine, aka Deadpool 3. Next is Moana 2. Then Despicable Me 4. Are you seeing the chat that I have? Are you seeing what I'm going for here? Now, number 5 was Wicked, which still sort of is an original property, sort of, is also based on existing IP and movies. Yeah. Multiple movies that have come out.
But like well, Wicked, that musical has been out for what, over a decade, right? So it's not, they're not that's taking right. a risk on that.
No. So here we go. Oh, well, you know, that's just the top 5. Let's keep going. Mufasa, The Lion King. Oh, there you go. That's another Dune Part 2. Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. Number 9, Kung Fu Panda 4. Number 10, Sonic the Hedgehog 3. And number 11, Venom the Last Dance or Venom 3. My point is, people, if you want original movies, you have to go support original movies. If all you do all day is go to see sequels and then complain about it, you are the problem.
Should we make our own original movie?
We should. We're going to call it Sonic the Hedgehog 4.
That's not a written. Nope. No.
And it's not going to be based on the video game in any way, but that's the title just to get anybody to see it.
Yeah. And it's actually just going to be a ripoff of Tetris. So
it's all it
no
is.
No hedgehogs whatsoever.
None. No one named Sonic. No hedgehogs. Not even the number 3 will not appear in this movie, but I bet it makes some money. Just saying. Well, here we go. I'm going to keep going with what we're up to.
What you got?
I've done too many rants. I'm at a rant after. I must have a lot to say right now. I'm playing video games, everybody. You might know this. I work in video games in my spare time. And good news there. Good things are happening. Now, I have been playing Clair Obscur Expedition 33. This is a double A, triple A title from a French studio. And a lot of people are saying early on, this is Game of the Year 2025. Wow. It is a turn-based RPG with a very, very long, long, long length to it, a very elaborate story, and it has sort of the Final Fantasy vibes, and where some people have said, I don't agree 100%, that Final Fantasy has lost their way a little bit. Clair Obscur kind of picks up that ball and runs in their own direction with it, like a rugby player, and it's very, very good. I played the prologue and a little bit of the very first part of it. I'm not going to say I'm more than, say, an hour or two into the game, but what I have played so far is impressive. Someday I'm going to learn how this parry system works, and I won't just get thwacked around by everybody, but that's a separate problem for a separate time. I would love to hear it. I know there's a lot of people who are very passionate about this game. The people who like this game, like, really, really like this game. That's why I think it has a very heavy chance to be called the Game of the Year 25. If you played it, if you checked it out, let me know. If you got any non-spoiler tips, I would love to hear them, because I am just starting my journey and I'll probably be playing it for a long time.
Cool. Well, that sounds awesome. I have not played like an RPG game and really like dove deep into it in so long. Honestly, the last RPG game that I really loved was like Ultima 4, which is
wow.
Decades ago. Something, once they got out of the everything's an icon to like cutscenes and stuff, I was like, this is too much for me to take in now.
What's depressing, Sam, is that was about 30 years ago.
No, I am well aware of that. You didn't have to tell the people.
I'm just saying, you know, when you were, you know,
these crazy kids and their stories.
Don't worry about that, everybody. Hey, what else are you watching? I got one more, but I'm sure you got more.
I got two more, but yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
I have to flip a coin on this because there's no easy segue out of what you do. Okay.
Do both. That's fine.
So the first thing I watched, which is kind of has a similar reason that I liked it as the movie did, is called Der Grief, which is a German television show that was dubbed. So it is dubbed, which is weird to watch. And I didn't realize it was dubbed going into it. And I like half watched, you know, like 20 minutes before I looked up and went, what the hell's happening? And I was like, oh, it's German. But the whole concept is very much like Stranger Things meets like, what was that Tom Hanks movie from like the early 80s? Like Mazes and Monsters, the Dungeons and Dragons
Mazes
movie.
Mazes and Monsters.
Yeah, where he like, he's losing his mind and thinks he's in the game. So that is kind of the premise of this, with the excluding the game element is...
Interesting.
Yeah, it is a family, potentially it is a family-based mental, you know, like a genetically passed down mental health issue, where they think they travel into this world that is controlled by a griffin, and there is a dark tower, and you know all these generations of men have been trying to like defeat this griffin, and the like world building elements and the just visual of it is so crazy, and it's got like this very, this looks exactly like it was filmed 1983, making another season. It's clearly really recent, but maybe
that sounds pretty cool.
I don't know if that's just the skill of this production team or the quality of German productions at this stage.
Wow.
So there is that.
Could be either.
But I thought it was super cool. And like, and it just gets more and more unhinged. And I thought it was awesome. So yeah,
where do you watch that on?
I think that was on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Well, So I got one more and then you do yours we'll do all next week's battle and get out of here. We're running long, but no one's timing us. I've been, listen, there's a big thing. San Diego Comic-Con's been happening over the last week, and they had a big concert last Thursday night I was not able to go to. If you know me from Knowing Is Half the Podcast, this is the Cold Slither show. And the Cold Slither show, speaking of which, I have the wrong branding on the screen right now. How about that? Whoa, there we go. Love it. The Cold Slither is the Zartan and the Dreadnoughts G.I. Joe Cobra-based heavy metal band from the 1985 Real American Hero TV show, written by Michael Charles Hill, who came on Knowing Us at the Podcast to talk about it, right? As literally we had him already booked, and then like the week before the announcement was made, and it was like, well, how about that for timing? I got the vinyl album and t-shirt of the entire Cold Slither album that they made special, that they did the concert for. And these are all very accomplished professional musicians coming together to have some fun being Zartan and the Dreadnoughts as Cold Slither. And I have now listened to the album a few times, and it is delightful. If you have a chance to check it out, thank you. And you're a fan of G.I. Joe, in any way, I think you will enjoy the Cold Slither album.
Nice. Well, that's very cool. All right. So last but not least, this is an older one, more or less, but I've been trying to get through four seasons of this before it's taken off of Netflix. I'm watching Preacher.
Okay.
Yeah, I never saw Preacher.
I fell off with that one after one season.
One season? I could see that. I think the second season starts to get into a more interesting realm.
That's good.
It's getting weird.
Always is weird.
So yeah, they basically took it on the road, so they're no longer trapped to the small town thing. You know, there is that one character with the butt face that is a little hard to take seriously as a character and watch.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of on his own track in the second season, and you don't see him as much. That might be a bonus. But yeah, I found it interesting. I think it's, you know, it's got just the right amount of like sarcasm and, you know, in that religious confine, if you will.
So, I've read every issue of the Preacher comic book. I own a lot of them, and I own trades where I don't own the actual issues. That was like my comic of choice of the late 90s.
Nice.
A big fan. I like Garth Ennis and his style, even though he's very problematic in a lot of his writings. He's a product of his era, and maybe he still is, as far as I know. But you know, people don't hate Garth Ennis the way they do some of these other authors, and for good reason. I'll just go ahead and put that out there. That being said, I had a problem with Preacher in that they, due to budgetary constraints, they had to set the entire first season in a small town in Texas. And knowing that that's just where the show or the comic book begins, and then it starts traveling around like not too long afterwards, it was hard for me to sort of like get on board when all these characters, all from these different areas and storylines and everything, just all happen to live in this one small town in Texas and all interact with each other.
Yeah.
I just was having a hard time getting on board that ship. And also the character, I believe, of Tulip, I did not like the portrayal they had her. The actress, Ruth Negga, is wonderful.
Yes.
She's a very good actress. I've seen her in other stuff. I've been very, very impressed by her work. And I don't think she's the problem. I think it's that they didn't know if they wanted this character to be a tough, you know, I am in charge. I am in control of everything. And I am just a tough person. And then immediately we'll flip around to being completely useless and helpless, the very next scene.
Yeah, there's
and
a
I really
bit of
had,
that.
Yeah, the duality was a little bit too wide a chasm for me. In that I know her from the comics, and that she's emotionally vulnerable, but she's very, very tough and in charge, and sort of like knows the angles of most situations she gets herself into, and can like squirrel her way out of it when she has to. And that is just not who that character is at all,
right,
in the Preacher TV show. So while I think they did do like the actor whose name I'm blanking on, who played Preacher, was very good. And some of the other actors I thought were very, very good. It was so disjointed. And it's like, they didn't quite know what they wanted to do with it in that first season.
Yeah.
And for these reasons and more, you are chopped.
Wait, is that Dominic Cooper? Is, by the way,
Dominic Cooper. Yeah. He's in the MCU somewhere. Doesn't he play like Howard Stark?
Oh,
I think.
God.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah. No, he
plays like young Howard Stark, if I remember.
Yeah, like
right.
I think he does a great job as that character. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see how it goes, if I can get through any more of it before the wife and kids get back.
It's tough. Yeah. So anyway, we got to tell you what the battle for next week is, and then we're going to get on out of here. So here we go. We're going to do, back to video game characters, everybody, because that's what we're doing. So next week, I hope you're going to like this one. This is pretty fun. You've got Sonic the Hedgehog, not the one from our movie that doesn't include Sonic.
Now. Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog versus Goku from Dragon Ball Z. On paper, you might have your thoughts one way or the other. If you do the deep dive, you're going to see this is one of the closest battles we've ever put together. And who's going to be representing Sonic the Hedgehog? But Sonic the Hedgehog superfan, Matthew Dawson. That's right. The genius man behind the Mortalverse audio dramas is going to be coming on this show and talking about Sonic the Hedgehog ever since way back in like season one or two of the Who Would Win show that I was on, that he has been talking about wanting to do Sonic. He's going to get his chance. That's going to be next week. I hope you guys are ready for that. Sam, go ahead and let people know what our socials and email and stuff are, and we've taken enough of their time. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, as always, you can find us on social media and Facebook and Patreon at Who Would Win Show. And if you want to be a potential debater and get in the guest seat, record a 1-minute video demo of yourself and send it to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And who knows, you might be joining us here on the podcast in the future. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for watching. I'm Sam Proof on all the socials. Stay strong.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
This is Ray back one more time, and there is a 1 in 2 chance that I'm very happy with the results of this past episode. One more reminder that if you'd like to join in with the Legion of Audience, you can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and support what we do. That's it. That's the message. Time to start my research on next week's battle. I'll see you there.
Remember crying when Optimus Prime died?
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode?
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniac were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
Different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the
Podcast.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Cassandra.
And we're the hosts of Trashy Trashy.
We're a podcast filled with trashy news stories and garbage people.
Did you leave the scene of an accident to go tanning?
Do you refer to wearing the strap down on your Crocs as sports mode?
Have you ordered Domino's online before they even open in the morning?
Are you switching the same AAA batteries from your TV remote to your vibrator instead of just buying more batteries?
Or are you normal?
Check us out wherever you download podcasts.